One of the writers of Psalms wrote in chapter 71, verses 16 through 18, "Declare your power to the next generation." That's not only an important statement, but it's also our topic for this week's broadcast from Words of Life. Each week, we present a Bible-based sermon in an effort to tell you about Jesus. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. We are supported with the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We pray that God will touch your life as you listen today. Please pray with me as you have opportunity. Holy Father, we come before you in prayer through your Son, Jesus. Please use each part of this broadcast so that you will help us to follow Jesus more closely. Bless each of our listeners with peace, healing, and convictions that are right. Help each one who is faithfully following you. As followers of Jesus, we look forward to the return of Jesus as is promised in the Bible. We thank you for this hope, and we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, Brother David Johnson will present in sermon, Declare Your Power to the Next Generation.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we share the Word of God to be able to encourage and edify the believer and to cause the unbeliever to consider God, to consider Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and Lord. The title for the lesson is Declare Your Power to the Next Generation. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 71, verses 16 through 18. Please listen to the Word of God. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. This is the Word of God. May this also be the meditation of our hearts as with the psalmist, that we would share the marvelous works and power and personhood of God to others. Maybe you remember when Coca-Cola, the soft drink, had the audacity to change its 100-year-old formula in 1985 to a new recipe, supposedly better tasting. Not. Understandably, there was a public backlash, young and old, that demanded the original recipe back. Within 2 short months, the Coca-Cola company was forced to return to its world-famous soft drink recipe and to store shelves under the name Coca-Cola Classic, spiking sales. Marketers then concluded that the original formula had stood the test of time. Don't mess with the best. Old sometimes trumps new. Millions did not want the real thing tampered with. The trade secret recipe of original Coke is perhaps the only thing more secret than the name of the crazy Coca-Cola executive that tried to replace it. So what does this have to do with our series of all of us getting older? Just this. Often, old is authentic. Most of us have dumped our foolishness long ago as we age. Billy Graham, the fine evangelist, writes, quote, "Some say old is even beautiful. I was told about an elderly woman who said, 'I wish I had enough time, money, and courage to get a facelift. My face is droopy.' Her beloved husband said, 'Dear, the most inexpensive and lasting facelift is just a smile often. It draws up your features, and that draws people to you. That is wise and frugal counsel.' Do you realize that the most joyful people on the planet should be Christians? I didn't say happy. We all know hard, unhappy times can come to all of us as we age. I did say Christians should be joyful. The exhortation for joy, rejoicing, comes from Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Now, most would say that this isn't realistic, isn't possible. Rejoice in the Lord always? We should ask ourselves, would the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, write this to Christians if it was impossible? That would be deceitful, even cruel. But really, rejoice always? That's not what Paul wrote. Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always," meaning no matter what a Christian's external circumstances are, including hard, sad, and unhappy circumstances, a Christian can nevertheless rejoice inwardly because he or she personally knows the Savior, Jesus Christ, is saved, is heaven-bound, and no conflict or crisis can defeat Christ in us, unless we choose to reject Him. Do you realize that this Philippian letter is one of the so-called prison epistles or letters? Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. And he wrote this from prison. As maturing Christians, Paul is teaching us that our inner attitude does not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was full of joy in very unhappy circumstances because he knew that no matter what happened to him, his Lord was always with him. I'm not saying that maintaining joy in unhappy circumstances is easy. It certainly is not. But by an act of our wills, we can choose to be joyful regardless. And also allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to control us, allowing part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is joy, to beam within us. Need a facelift? Smile broadly and often. We all have a choice, either to be content with where we are in life or to be a sourpuss. The former is better by far. Paul also wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, in part, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. This will probably take time to adjust and adapt, but we can do it if we make up our minds to do so. Billy Graham adjusted. He was just flesh and blood, like all of us. He had aches and pains, and the rest that goes with older age. After all, I think he lived to be 100 years of age. And he wrote, quote, I have to admit that I miss the days of driving a car. But I am grateful for those who take me where I need to go. End of quote. And so we need to search out the positive instead of dwelling on the negative. My aches and pains remind me that I am not as young as I would like to be. But I'm thankful that I am still here to talk about them, and that someone is kind enough to listen patiently. The mirror doesn't lie, but I can smile into it because my dim eyesight camouflages my wrinkles. My desire is to learn to be content. We should never get too old to learn or too old to smile. A police officer pulled over a distinguished-looking woman, the story goes, and asked why she had exceeded the speed limit. The old gentleman sitting in the passenger seat laughed and said, Well, young man, we were speeding to get to the place before we forgot where we were going. Getting where we are going is important. Equally important are those who are following us because they are on the same journey of life. The older generation may have a hard time keeping up with the younger, but let's remember that as long as we are still breathing, we, the older ones, are leading the way. The generations that follow are learning about growing old from us. Are we good examples? The lessons we have learned from our failures and successes can help those following behind. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose, a time to gain and a time to lose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 6, New King James Version. End of quote from Billy Graham. Let's all take a few minutes to personally apply the inspired words in Psalm 71, verse 18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. This should not be too difficult, because the preceding verse, for most here this morning, probably applies also to some extent. Many of us are in our older years. Psalm 71, verse 17. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Many of us have been believers since our youth, and we have matured over the years. A person is never too old to pray for those in Christ Jesus, that they persevere in the faith, and to pray for those one suspects are not in Christ, that they may accept and receive Him as Savior and Lord before it is eternally too late. A person is never too old to share with others about much that we have seen, that we have heard, and learned about God's marvelous deeds, power, and might over the many years that we have lived. We have stories, God-inspired stories, to share with others. As we get older, we seem to get more tired with less energy. The natural tendency is to seek rest and relaxation. We often think that we deserve it. And all of this, of course, is very natural and common as we age. Yet, as we have opportunity, is it not our duty to declare God's power to the next generation? And in particular, God's power to save? As the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We are to plant seeds because it's God who gives the increase. Which reminds me of a hymn we often sing entitled, "Rescue the Perishing." Listen to some of the words of this great hymn and let us take them to heart. Rescue the perishing. Quote, "Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. Waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they truly believe." End quote. This we should do. This we should share and witness to others. And surely then we will hear from the Lord, good and faithful servant.
We have been blessed by what we have been told today, and we at Words of Life hope that you are a Christian. If you've not made a decision to follow Jesus, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. God's Word shows us that people who believe, repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. Please write to us today if we can help you in making a decision for Christ, or if you'd like to have a CD of this and last week's program. If you would, request CD 2220. That's 2220. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing the-